Today we're going to continue our study in the Word of God, looking for the truths that will help us walk with the Lord and remain faithful to Him, especially in this time of tribulation that the whole world is experiencing at this time. And surely all of us are in the last days, and we have to recognize that. You need to recognize the season, the prophetic season that you and I are in God's divine calendar plan. Amen. And one of the most critical things that you and I need to understand is that you're not going to be in Him. You are in Him. And I'm speaking to believers, those that have heard the gospel, believed the gospel, accepted Christ, have repented earnestly, who are abiding in Him through obedience and practical cooperation, who have been baptized and who are stepping out as God's ambassadors. Now, you have to understand, I got a text from a believer this morning, and she had an appointment with me today at noon. And she's very diligent, very, very diligent in keeping appointments. And she had already taken care of the project, and she was so faithful to her commitment to me. She notified me 3 hours before, "Sir, just wanted you to understand that I have completed this work, and there's no need for us to meet unless you desire that." What does she display? Her faithfulness to her commitment, right? And so that's a discipline that's absolutely critical for us as Christians. And if you look at Psalms 15, I think it's verse 4. Nick, you want to read it for me? Psalms 15, 4. This is something that you want to live by if you're going to walk with God. You need to be faithful to your word. Our God is the faithful God, right? And what is faithful? He's somewhat, for us, is we have to be full of faith in Him. Yes? Go ahead, Nick.
Psalm 15, verse 1. Whose eyes of all the person is despised, but He honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change.
Okay. You hear that? He who swears to his own hurt who does not change. What does that mean? It means you do what you say. Right? You keep your word. Even to your own hurt, you keep your word. Well, God allows us to walk with Him. He is the one who's unchanging, whose word stands forever. The situations will come and go, but the word of God stands forever. Yes? He is the place in which we need to abide. He is the rock. Nations come and go, as we have recently seen. Seasons come and go. Nations change from day to day. Your life changes from day to day. You say, "Pastor, what is your point?" I am telling you that when times of trouble are here, you need to be in the rock. You need to be in Him. And it's not that you would somehow come and go from Christ. And that's what I want to talk about today. You and I need to accept truth. You've got to come to a place, well, one day I'm with the Lord, next day I'm not. No, you're in Him. The only variable is your level of cooperation. Okay? So you don't fly in Jesus one day and fly out the next. No, if you have heard the gospel of Christ, if you have believed the Lord, if you have received salvation through Christ alone, if you are in Him who is true, then you remain in Him who is true. You don't come and go. God doesn't baptize you into Christ one day and take you out the next by your levels of cooperation or not. No. Amen. You are in Him who is true. And so what I want you to understand is that brings surety into your life. Amen. You have to understand that things around you are changing very rapidly. There are so many things that even the strongest Christian can be startled by, can be shaken by. But there are truths about where you are in Him that should shore you up. And that's what I want you to hear. In Him there is surety. In Him you can know with confidence that He has got you on a journey. And the journey began with your lifetime. You were placed into Christ. That's another spiritual landmark. And the end result is He is going to take you to heaven. And He said in St. John chapter 10, verse 28, that no one can snatch you from my Father's hand, the words of Jesus. Okay? So that's the foundation. You are in Christ, and no one can remove you from that.
Amen.
Plenty, lack, war, peace, tribulation, times of wonder, it doesn't matter. You are in Him. That's my first point. I want you to see the truth of that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 through 14. Now, what happens is, year after year, time after time, opportunity after opportunity, circumstance after circumstance, Satan wants to shake you into believing, well, one day you're saved, next day you're not. No. I am in Christ.
Amen.
He is my Savior. And what He did for me, He did. Let me say that again. What Christ did for me, He did. That allows you to rest in the truth of your soul salvation. Now, the obedience thing, the cooperation thing, is a whole nother matter. And God has His own disciplinary system. Yes? And He has His own reward system. He's the Holy Father. He knows how to take care of His children. Agreed? It's unrelated. The disciplinary system and the reward system is completely unrelated to the salvation plan. He has saved you. Accept that. Let your soul rest on that. Enter into that soul salvation rest and celebrate the mighty work of the crucified Christ. Amen. Celebrate the mighty power of our risen Savior.
Yes.
These are the truths that you need to hold fast to. To rest in, come what may.
Amen.
Come what may, rest in these foundational truths.
Yes.
Now, once that's there, then you can talk about the ways of the Lord. Now you can talk about how to walk and work in Him. There's a discipline here. Walk and work in Him. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, I want to give you this as a foundation. And you need to believe this. You have to accept it. In fact, the Word uses that the Holy Spirit is a guarantee. There's no more greater guarantee than the Word of God.
Amen?
Amen? You hear recently our beloved brother in the Lord had a problem with his refrigerator. He couldn't get the manufacturer to warranty it. He couldn't get the service company to warranty it. He couldn't get the insurance company that he had bought insurance on this refrigerator from to warrant it. He just didn't have a warranty. Even though they guaranteed they would stand by it, they didn't. Listen, men will fail you. God commands that you do not put your trust in men. And don't put your trust in princes. Don't put your trust in horses. Don't put your trust in anything that you can see.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Men will fail you. Refrigerators will fail you. Your family will fail you. Guarantee it.
Yes.
That you can be sure of. But God is faithful. And His guarantee, no one can move. God keeps His word. And He wants His children to keep their word even to your own hurt. It's so important that you're known in the land. If He said it, I would count on it. Or if she said it, I would rest on it. Yes? We need to have that testimony of being faithful to our word. Here it is in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Look at the surety of verse 14. It says, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Christ died to pay the price for your sin. He paid the price. Now, he didn't die for nothing. And he's not going to heaven empty-handed. He is going to take those who the Father has given him to glory.
Amen.
You can count on it, and I want you to see it in the Word. You have to hear these truths over and over. But you hearing them is one thing. Resting in them is a whole other dimension. And if you will affirm your soul with these truths, Satan cannot shake you with his shock and awe treatments. Okay? Know that. He does that. Shock and awe. He works like that. Here it is in St. John chapter 6, verse 38 through 41. This is the words of Jesus. Well, let me just back up there just to 35. St. John chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger." Isn't that a comfort? David said, "I've never seen the righteous begging bread." God has the power to feed you with a raven in the wintertime. He can cause food to come to your table and into your mouth. It says, "And he who believes in me shall never thirst." What does that point to? You being satisfied because of him. In other words, you have to be satisfied with Christ alone.
Amen.
See, once the carrot chase is over. Now think of the strategies here of Satan. Look at the TV. Look at the media. Oh, you need the bigger one. No. You need the bigger one times X. The X4. You need the X4. Oh, that was last year. You need the X5. Right? Oh. That's old technology. You need X10. What is it? It's forever moving. There's no rest. You're never satisfied. But if the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. W-A-N-T. You shall not want. So what I'm saying, and he's teaching it here, you need to come to a place for your own good. Where Christ is enough.
Amen.
Period.
Yes.
In a desert or in a land of plenty. Christ is enough. Here it is. He said, but I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. Does not the word also say that blessed are those who do not see? Yet believe.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Blessed are those who do not see, yet believe. But if you look over your shoulder, can't you see God at work in your life?
Amen.
If you look into His Word, can't you see God at work in the disciples' lives?
Yes.
And if you look into His Word, can you not see God's plan for your life? See, you must understand that God initiated this plan for you, that God is sustaining you, and that He is going to deliver you safely into heaven's courts.
Yes.
You're along for a ride, the journey back to God. The journey back to God. It's otherwise known as a lifetime. No man knows the day or the hour or the term. Here it is in verse 38, the point, or 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. You ever had someone turn you off? Give you the stiff arm? Give you a deaf ear? A cold shoulder? Men will do that. And that will trouble you if you're not already rested in the Lord. You find someone that really knows the Lord and finds comfort just because He's their God, or He's their Father, or He's their Savior, or He's their Comforter, or He's their Teacher, He's their Guide. Men will come and go, church, and their accolades will go with them. You must not find your comfort there by the accolades of men or pleasing men. Men are never pleased. Make no mistake about it. You can try until you're blue in your face, and that will not satisfy your soul. Here it is. He's saying, the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. In other words, he's saying, let us reason together that I am with you.
Amen.
That I am with you.
Yeah.
And that I'm going to remain with you.
Yeah.
And that I'll never leave you and never forsake you.
Mm-hmm.
And that I placed you in my Son. And that I gave you my Holy Spirit. And I'm going to take you to heaven. In other words, you and I need to understand the truth that we are in Him.
Amen.
And no man can snatch you from the Father's hand. Let that rest on you today. In that you'll find rest. If that rests on you, in that you will find confidence. Here it is in verse 38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. That is a transferable leadership concept from Jesus. He followed the Father. The Father's will was His food. Jesus was sent by the Father. We're sent by the Son. In the same way that Jesus fed on the Father's for the Father's will and the Father's joy was His life, we have to adopt the same leadership concept.
Amen.
My joy is His pleasure,
yes.
Not my joy. I'm not concerned about my joy. I'm concerned about my Father's joy. It says in Nehemiah 8:10, for what does it say? The joy of the Lord. It doesn't say your joy. The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In other words, if you're living for His pleasure, then your strength will be filled. Rest in that. Here's what the world sells. Your joy is goal number one, period. That's a lie. If you're in the kingdom. Because you must live for the King's pleasure now. You don't belong to yourself. Your body doesn't belong to yourself. You were bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, when you overrule God's authority over you, you're rebelling against the King of Kings. That never goes unpunished. Here it is in verse 39. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all He has given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up the last day. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life. There it is. Here's your promise. Here's your promise, church. I will raise Him up at the last day.
Amen.
See, He started this. He's sustaining you. And He just promised you that He will raise you up on your last day. You're in Him. It's not that you're going to go somewhere when you die. You're already in Him. Amen?
Amen.
The consciousness is just a different realm. You're conscious now. When you die, you're going to be conscious. Whether you go to heaven or hell, you're going to be conscious. 1 Corinthians 5:8. Consciousness does not leave the dead body, the spirit. The body is dying and will die. But the spirit lives on forever. So point, if you're taking notes, you need to find rest, comfort, peace. That you are in Him who cannot be moved. Who cannot be moved. Who can move God? Who could dare take you away from God's mighty authority in hand? No one. Let us reason together. Do not kid yourself or do not others deceive you. No one can snatch you from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings. He holds all power and authority. The demons tremble at His name.
Amen.
Who could take you from mighty God? Rest in that point. Next, as you have to understand, that you are not only in Him, but He is your help. that he is your help, not man. He is your help.
Amen.
And knowing that will bring great comfort and will provide a lot of peace so that you can hear the voice of the way to go, the ways of the Lord. See, once you're rested, sometimes, as you can imagine, I get crisis phone calls. And I always encourage the people, if at all possible, pull yourself back from the fire.
Amen.
Pull yourself back from the front line long enough to take in good counsel and to rest your soul, that you're not making decisions out of fear, circumstance, or just the counsel of men. Invite the counsel of God.
Amen.
In that way, you will find the help of the Lord.
Yes.
No, it's not good to make like burning the house is on fire decisions if you can keep from it. So here in Psalm 63, verses 1 through 7. Now, I'm emphasizing that because there may be times of crisis where everything you know is shaking. The government, a war, on and on and on. You could only imagine what could happen in the last days. Read the book of Revelation. We don't know exactly when the Lord would come and remove the church. We don't know.
Amen.
No one knows. And that's why it's so important that you take heed to this 6, 8, 10 month exhortation from the pulpit. Fortify yourself, that you may not be shaken when everything else is shaking. Take it to heart to fortify your spirit. Take it to heart to plan for the worst, believe for the best, but yet carry on as though you don't know what's going to happen. That's the key. Remaining faithful, but planning well. And if it comes, come what may. The Lord is in charge.
Amen.
Right? Here it is in Psalms chapter 63. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. A Psalm of David. O God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because of your loving kindness is better than life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you've walked with him more than 5 minutes, you know that that's true.
Yes.
His loving kindness is better than life. The loving kindness of the Lord. I heard it put like this. If God gives you a PBJ, that's if he gives you a peanut butter sandwich, that's sustenance. If he gives you a PBJ, that's the loving kindness of the Lord. It says in here in verse 4, thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I will meditate on you in the night watches. I didn't hear one time David saying where he was meditating on his trouble. There's a lesson here. Trouble will come and go. The frequency, no man knows. Our duty is to remain focused on the character qualities that we know to be true about our God. And it says here, you are my God. Is he your God?
Yes.
Think about what I just said. The demons, they'll say that Jesus is Lord, but he's not their Lord. The rebellious, they'll say Jesus is Lord and they'll carry the Bible straight into church. But is he really their Lord?
No.
Just because the horse is in a barn doesn't mean it belongs to the farmer.
Amen.
It says here in verse 7, because you have been my help, catch that, you have been my help. The person of Christ. You have to acknowledge that He is your help. It's not what He does for you is your help. He is your help.
Amen.
The person of Christ is your help. In fact, the Word says that the blessed Holy Spirit is a helper from God. And He does not need to come to you. If He is in you, you have help from God on board, from God Himself who's in you.
Amen.
See, everybody's looking for God. If you're a believer, the Holy Spirit is in you.
Amen.
Catch that. Everybody's looking for God. What do you mean? You're a believer? Yes. He's in you.
Amen.
Realize that. Celebrate that. Talk to Him.
Yes.
There's no need to go here and there. The only thing you have to do is kneel low. Bow low. Reverence is a must, a non-negotiable to have relationship with God. And so understanding that the Lord Himself is your help, He says, therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me.
Yes.
There it is. Your right hand is not going to uphold you. It is holding you. Because you have been sovereignly placed. The baptism of God has placed you in His Son. You, if you're in Him, you were placed into His Son. And you had nothing to do with that. God did that. And no man, no demon, no circumstance, no lack, no plenty, no war, no peacetime can change that.
Amen.
See, in other words, the more you hear these truths, that they are unmovable, unshakable, that they're unilateral, they're unrepentant, the calls and gifts of God are irrevocable. Catch that. The calls and the gifts of God is the Holy Spirit God? Yes. Is He a gift? Yes.
Amen.
Is Jesus Christ the Lord? Yes. Was He a gift from God? Yes. God so loved the world He gave. Amen. The calls and gifts of God are irrevocable. The gift of your home in heaven, it's waiting. The calls and gifts of God are irrevocable. Can you see the beauty of knowing these truths and resting in these truths? What does that do for you? It makes you impervious to the wiles and the schemes, the fiery darts of the devil, the shock and awe treatments, the fear strategies, all the above.
Amen.
It makes you bulletproof against the folly of the evil one. Because he wants you to cry and whine because you don't have the X10 box. And I don't even know what that is. Right? But if you need it, right? You need that bigger one, right? Better one? Latest model? Mm-hmm. Do you see the folly? The carrot chase? Oh, yeah. Chase, go on. Go on. Just rabbit trail that baby right out there. You'll, and when you get out there and you think you got it, oh, it just got away from you. Nonsense. It leaves believers in wantonness. Wantonness. You got to find your rest, saints. You got to find your rest in God. You got to find the surety of knowing that He is in the eternal business. He's in the eternal business. This thing that you're experiencing now is just a puff. It's a puff. This whole lifetime, if you live to be 120, is a puff. It's just a puff. A vapor in the eyes of God. So while we're here, we must be about our Father's business. And you will be redirected, misguided, delayed, neutralized, set aside if you do not have your rest and your confidence to know He started this, He's on board, He's going to finish it, I'm along for the ride. These are the foundations of remaining faithful to God in times of trouble.
Amen.
You have to understand that we are in him who is true, and that he said with his own mouth, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can snatch you from his Father's hand. St. John chapter 10, verse 28. St. John chapter 14, verse 6. So with these truths, saints, we have to hold fast to them. And if God gives me strength, if the Lord tarries and gives us one more time in the Word, we'll continue our study about Christ being our refuge and walking in his ways. Thanks for letting me share.